Anthony Wiesnaso was a young, promising writer out of the Bay Area. As a queer Cambodian American, he wrote about people living not just in the aftermath of the Cambodian genocide, but beyond it. So died in December after a drug overdose. He was only 28 years old. His debut short story collection is called After Parties, and it's out this week. NPR's Andrew Limbong has more.
After Parties opens with a story titled Three Women of Chuck's Donuts. It follows Suthi and her two daughters, Kaylee and Tevi, who run a donut shop in a crappy part of town. The two daughters, who are 12 and 16, are minding their register when a man comes in and orders an apple fritter. The story was first published in The New Yorker, and Anthony Wiesnaso recorded a reading.
The man ignores them both, sits down at a booth, and proceeds to stare out the window at the busted potential of this small city's downtown.
The man leaves Kaylee without touching his fritter. He comes back the next day, same thing, same booth, same fritter, then leaves. This happens a few more times, and the girls start to get invested in him. They suspect he might belong to the same Cambodian ethnic group as them, Khmer, which leads the older daughter, Tevi, to wonder what being Khmer even means.
Throughout her 16 years of life, her parents' ability to intuit all aspects of being Khmer, or emphatically not being Khmer, has always amazed and frustrated Tevi. She'd do something as simple as drink a glass of ice water, and her father from across the room would bellow, "There were no ice cubes in the genocide." Then he'd lament, "How did my kids become so not Khmer?" before bursting into rueful laughter. Other times, she'd eat a piece of dried fish or scratch her scalp or walk with a certain gait, and her father would smile and say, "Now I know you're Khmer."
Whether or not you put ice cubes in your water or if you eat dried fish, these things aren't serious markers of ethnic identity, unless they are.
He doesn't give us an easy answer, but he does ask the questions, which reflects some kind of truth.
Monica Sook is a writer and was a friend of So's. She says he had a way of asking these big questions about Khmer identity and all that that means without it overshadowing all the other aspects of life.
After Parties, it's probably our first celebrated queer Khmer American fiction that goes beyond survival literature.
You know, stories that are solely about how to make it through this alive. Instead, the characters in After Parties have other interests, for better or worse. They range from good-for-nothing men to overachieving pick-me's to listless dirtbags to slightly hornier dirtbags.
They are people who are lost, don't know what they're doing with their lives, are stuck working in their dad's auto repair shop.
In that story specifically called The Shop, the problem isn't with the dad or the auto repair shop. Instead, the main character simply cannot decide what he wants. After hooking up with a guy from his childhood, So writes, "I felt giddy to be having sex with a cooler older guy from my youth who listened to bands like the Mars Volta. If only my closeted sex-deprived self from high school could see me now, I sometimes thought before realizing, yet again, how dumb it was to think that way about Paul, a closeted gay guy too scared to break up with his first girlfriend. Plus, the Mars Volta actually sucks." Dana Spioda is an author and taught So at the Syracuse University Creative Writing Program. She says lines with references like these, butted up against the generational trauma of the genocide, were key to his writing.
He would put in references to genocide and the Mas and the Gongs and Buddha and monks and Pol Pot, but then there would be Funyuns and Kanye and Simpsons and PlayStations. So it was this constant mixing of those things, and I think it really became, in the language, that colloquial language, a way to talk about the generational difference and the tension there, and also the burden of it and the responsibility.
Another one of his teachers at Syracuse, the writer Jonathan Dee, said So tried to do a lot with his writing, at times too much. Dee actually got to read the first 75 pages of a novel So was working on.
And my note on those pages was a note that I frequently gave him, which is, every idea in this is great, there are just too many ideas.
Like a lot of writers, particularly young ones, So had a lot to say and wanted to get it all out there.
And of course, you know, I mean, I can't help but feel pretty wistful about that advice now, you know, and like, don't worry, you're going to have lots more novels to write. But yeah, that was characteristic of him.
Dee says So's characters reflected the writer himself, caught between the weight of the past and the need to escape from it. Of course, there's no real escape. The next best option is to try and, as So puts it, reach beyond the realm of survival. Andrew Limbong, NPR News.